three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde, Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher, live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City. This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance on 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
The standard is the standard, and so we need to have a meeting edition. I had a lot of people, and so did someone else, mentioning the off-season program to me yesterday edition. Andy, are you guys at AmFam Field edition of Wilde and Tausch? On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, and of course, WisconsinOnDemand.com, and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay, road tripping like Peter Scolari and Tom Hanks in Bosom Buddies, without the dressing like girls so they could get into an apartment building. From AmFam Field, it is Jesse Nelson and the star of our show, Mark Tauscher. What are you guys doing there?
You know what, Jason? Some people love sports and actually want to like be a part of it. So we're down at AmFam Field. What a series. You look out here at AmFam Field, they got the roof open. There's a little shade in the right field, right center field. Got guys pounding on the mound trying to get that right. I think Bellinger walking through. This is what it's about. What do you mean, what are we doing here? What are you not doing here?
Yeah, what are you not doing here? I don't even need to be here.
This is one thing, a pet peeve that always annoys me. When I'm at like a festival or I'm somewhere out with, what are you doing here? What do you think I'm doing here? I'm here to watch a blanking baseball game, do a little work pre-game, have a couple Coors Lights, and enjoy the day. What do you mean, what am I doing here? That's a pet peeve of mine. You want to irritate me? See me at the Sun Prairie Corn Festival and come say, what are you doing here? I'm here to eat corn, and I maybe take a ride. That's what I'm doing here, Jason Wilde. Huh? Yeah, that's what I thought.
I thought maybe our listeners would want to know why you're there. That's just me. Why you were there.
I'm telling you something. I think most of our listeners understand the Dodgers are in town. We're trying to split this four-game set. That's what I'm doing here. I don't think most people, you say you're at AmFam Field. No, I'm just here to watch the grass grow, and I'm going to head home.
Well, not to be critical, but is the game going on? Or are you watching the grass
show
grow?
Is going on.
And the pitcher's mound be pounded.
Right, so Jason,
110.
I don't think you understand the concept of time.
I do understand the concept
game.
Of the time.
We've been here. We were here with our friends from Chevy, where I'm here with my friends from Coors Light today. It's coming to a game. I don't want to have to come 3 hours. What do you want me to get here at the fifth inning? I leave the show early.
Gotta be in your seat for first pitch.
Leave the show early again, like some people are going to do today. I want to finish shows. When I can.
Start to finish.
When I can.
Grinders. Us too.
With that stupid orbit of the moon, I had to get my round of golf started at Lac La Belle at 1:00. Otherwise, I wouldn't finish. So I had to leave early. No, if the orbit hadn't sped up, like CBS News said, I could have taken off and started the tee time at 135, 140, but that's not the way the Earth spins on its axis.
Okay? You guys, you're absolutely right, because Lord knows we didn't go do the show at the home opener from a parking lot instead of the radio booth.
And should have done it here.
So, again, it's not that I don't understand time, but...
I'm not going to lie to you. This is the fifth time I've been down at AmFam Field this for with our broadcast. The first one was Hey, that wasn't fun.
The wind's still blowing from that
forgot
thing.
Forgot to bring a coat. I think I was wearing shorts. I didn't recognize that spring is no longer, that we were still in the heat of winter because it was April. Now, if it's Halloween, the Brewers are playing on Halloween, I promise you,
World Series game one.
We will do it outside in that same exact parking lot. And I'll be wearing shorts and a T-shirt regardless if it's snowing.
Okay? And they will have changed the World Series from the Fall Classic to the Summer Classic, because it'll still be October and it'll be Halloween, and that's still officially summer according to some. All right, so I'm glad you could fill folks in with our partners at Chevy and Coors Light. I know you're excited to be down there.
Yeah.
You are going to the game together as well. From what I can gather.
Hopefully. I don't know what Jesse's plans
are. I'm just here to talk to Euchre. That's the only reason I came today. I really don't need to be here at all. Everything was already set up and connected. I really had no reason to make the drive down this morning other than to just come and talk to Euchre.
So
I got a high school game to get back to and do tonight. Jason, I'm two stadiums for me today.
Yeah, you're a grinder. Three, if I was allowed to say where I was. All right, so just out of curiosity... The first pitch is at 110 on 620 WTMJ, our sister station in Milwaukee, the flagship for your Milwaukee Brewers.
Yep.
Corbin Burns.
Burnsy.
So the program ends at Burnsy, yeah. The program ends at noon.
Yep,
for some of us, it's going to end at 11:55, so I can go listen to the coordinators and ask questions. As opposed to 11:30 to go golfing. But what is your plan between 12 and 110? What are you guys going to do? You're gonna go mingle? Jesse apparently is going to go bother Euchre, which I'm sure he'll be thrilled by. What's your game plan?
I don't have one. There's no game plan. I don't need a game plan.
What are you doing here?
You don't need the game plan every minute of your life. Do you?
What time did you guys leave Sun Prairie today? And what did you play pickleball this morning?
I did not. No, I took the morning off. My knee's been a little swole. Stiff knee. Yeah, I played 3 days in a row. I kind of
PUP.
It's like training camp up there. You do 3 days, 2 days off, and then you have a jog through, and then you maybe will practice in a week. So but I'm gonna play tomorrow.
All right. Well, a couple of grinders at AmFam Field. Again, Brewers and Dodgers today at 1:10 this afternoon.
Hey, I'm going to be honest. When Brian Anderson comes in, I'm going to say, what are you doing here? What on earth are you doing here? No, I don't know. There's a game this afternoon.
You're absolutely right. I would say that to Brian Anderson, too, because it's not as if he does a bunch of games as opposed to you, who's usually in your undisclosed location. I couldn't agree with you more.
What are you doing here?
Scals and Brust, I was on with them yesterday, 4 to 6 on these very airwaves, and they said, what's the most annoying sports cliche? And I said, it is what it is. I think my next one now is, what are you doing here? That might be the most annoying cliche. Now, take sports out of it. That might be the most annoying cliche that you can shoot at me.
It's not even a cliche.
What are you doing here? Well, it's become one. It has become one. And then now the other one, I was listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I am getting all my ESPN Wisconsin stuff on. Chewy had a good one. Well, if they played the game on paper, we'd win. That's another dumb cliche, isn't it? Because they don't play the game on paper. Why do we even ever say that?
I don't know how many people say that.
I think a lot of people.
I've heard people say, well, on paper, we're a good team. But I don't know how many times I hear people say if they played the game on paper. That one is not one that I hear very frequently. I also don't hear, what are you doing here? But of course, I don't go anywhere, so why would I hear anyone say that?
That's a very fair point. That's a very fair point.
Good self-awareness, yeah.
All right, so you are going to enjoy baseball today.
We need a win. We need a dub.
Big game.
We just can't. We can't hit.
Yeah.
I know everybody's going nuts about Hader, and again, I was irritated by how it all played out, and you know, again, that reaction from Devin Williams as a Brewers fan, bandwagon fan. You're concerned, but we can't hit. We just can't hit, and I know the Dodgers staff is fine, but let's go. We need it today. I'm expecting a big old. I might prize picks it. Go big on the first inning. I think Brewers are going to get out to a big start this afternoon.
I understand that it was Scalzo and Brust's shtick, but doesn't one game at a time trump, what are you doing here? If they played the game on paper.
1-0 every week. That would be my answer to this.
Just trying
question.
To get 1% better. That's big over here at this building.
The 1-0 every week for football is 1,000% the mentality. That's not a cliche. That is the mentality. So the cliche is different. It is what it is. Isn't a mentality. That is. I don't want to talk to you.
Are you telling me one game at a time can't be both a mentality and a cliche because it's said so often?
1-0. 1-0. We're gonna just win the week. That's not a cliche.
No.
I want to win the week. I want to win the week.
I just want to win this segment, and I'm clearly not doing that.
No, you have gotten throttled in this segment.
I don't think Tausch knows what cliche means. What are you doing here is his answer to the worst cliche.
There's one of those.
But 1-0 every week is not.
There's one of those little deals over the
great Neon question.
Cliche, right?
Yeah.
It's like a accent mark.
Emphasis or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now maybe I don't understand cliches. I've lived my life in sports. I love sports. You need to be programmed. You need to have buy-in. So the idea of, you know, cliches in the outside world, I get it. But when you have 53 or, you know, 12, whatever sport you're talking about, 25 in baseball, my new favorite sport for the day, you need buy-in. You need guys to be programmed to not only just be about themselves. You want to have personalities, but you need buy-in. So that's, to me, that's the idea of going 1-0. Like, if I'm the Milwaukee Brewers today, I'm saying, are they on the road this weekend or they're
at home? At the Cubs this weekend.
All right, they're in Chicago. So I ain't worried about the Cubbies at all. I'm saying win the day.
Right, go 1-0 today. Mm-hmm.
So if I hear Craig Counsell down there talking to the boys and saying, Yelly and the whole crew, 1-0. Burnsy, let's get it done. We're going 1-0 today. I am not thinking cliche. I'm thinking, like that mentality. Now go do it.
How great would it be for Paul Chryst to say, you know what, our approach to September, we really want to be 3-1. I would love for him to say that. Just be real about it.
I want to be respectable at Ohio State and win the other ones. Yeah, that would be.
I'd love to hear the honesty.
That would be really awe-inspiring for his team. what an inspiring operation. Because we don't want guys saying cliches. Let me tell you a little something. If you love sports, you best get on board with the cliche game. Now, you can critique the cliche, but don't try to tell people don't use cliches, because that's how coaching and that's how the world works in sports.
Yeah, I've got to tip my cap to you. You really rose to the occasion there. I'm looking forward to the next challenge of the next segment, but I'm only taking it one segment at a time.
Well,
I'm just trying to go 1-0 every segment.
I ain't going to lie to you. I wish you'd had that approach when you turned on at 9 o'clock. Because this was a throttling.
Josh DiMaggio, what are you doing here?
That's a great question.
Well, it is what it is. And what it is time now for Tausch to tell us about an. This has not become a cliche on our show. It's just the truth. It's a mentality. We love Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The mentality of being the best, and it is always Pella when you're talking about the best when it comes to windows and doors. And it's not often that you're going to find a deal that is this good on such a premium brand like Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And right now at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, you can have beautiful Pella windows installed on your home, and you pay just 2.99% financing. And you can lock that in for 10 years. And I'm telling you, you check the CPI, you know, all the inflation gauges, everything else that's going on. Everything is rising up, rise. So you can lock that in, which is a great deal right now. But if you want to skip the financing, choose Pella's famous patented blinds or shades between the glass on their lifestyle or impervia patio doors for free. Don't miss these incredible offers. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
You need to have buy-in, Tausch just said. That's not a cliche. Yep. That's a mentality.
It is not. 1-0, baby.
Well, the offense going to great lengths to get buy-in after Aaron Rodgers publicly chastised his young wide receivers.
Yeah, admonished.
Admonished is a good word, too. Those aren't cliches. Those are synonyms. They had a meeting yesterday about it. And Aaron Rodgers walked into the meeting and said, "What are you guys doing here?" Because he didn't call the meeting.
Randall Cobb.
You know, one of my favorite things about being at AmFam Field, watching the ground crew do its work. They're pounded with that thing. But this would be a cool gig, mopping the top of the dugout. That just looks
that would be a cool gig.
Mm-hmm. No, look at him. He's mopping.
Why don't you go down and do that?
Look at him. We can't.
I'm offered. Well, I know this is radio, but I'm saying I'm painting a picture, Joshy.
Look at him. He's not painting the picture.
It's a blue top to the dugout. Brewers written in gold lettering with the ball glove signature logo.
It looks so therapeutic, just the back and forth of the mop.
Man going straight down the middle of the top of the visitor's dugout.
I'll tell you what. Somebody from the Brewers just stopped and he's staring at that mop guy, too. It's not just me. Look, he can't get enough of the mop guy.
For all those times that I wondered, can we turn off the TVs in the Park Bank ESPN Madison studios? Now I have to turn off an entire stadium to get focus from old T. We will talk about the meeting of the minds yesterday between Aaron Rodgers and the wide receivers and the coaches. We'll talk about that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Jesse and Tausch are live from AmFam Field for Brewers Dodgers 1:10 first pitch on 620 WTMJ, our sister station, the flagship for your Milwaukee Brewers. All right, so Tausch, we don't have a lot of meetings, as I think the show would indicate. The Packers have lots of meetings, but not usually, and I don't want to call this an ambush meeting, but Aaron Rodgers didn't know this was coming. So Randall Cobb told me that he came in at 8:45 yesterday, and Jason Vrabel told the wide receivers that today's wide receivers meeting is being held in the quarterback's room.
Mm.
And so all the wide receivers piled in there along with the three quarterbacks, although really it was one of note that was really needing to talk to them. But it was not Aaron Rodgers' call. Aaron Rodgers came and didn't know that it was going to be done. But they had a lengthy meeting about expectations, etc. I don't know how many players-only meetings you were involved in and how often they were called or who called them, but this was called by the coaches, and it wasn't players-only. But Jason Vrabel basically decided, after what Rodgers had said the day before, that they needed to get everybody together and talk about it. How do you view this, and how productive can something like this be, as opposed to the public criticism, which we all heard from Aaron Rodgers of the young receivers the day before?
Yeah, I like it. And, you know, one of the things that, from a team standpoint, when you're doing more than one players-only meeting, your team stinks. The first year I was, you know, my first real exposure to big-time athletics was 1995 at the University of Wisconsin. A bunch of veterans. You had Bevel and Jerry Wunsch and just a bunch of old heads. And the season started kind of derailing, and you could kind of tell. They called back-to-back weeks of team meeting, of players only. And once that second players only called, and it just everybody was just sniping at each other, you knew it was over. You knew the season was falling off a cliff. In this case, I think what's really good is when you can have open, honest dialogue. The thing that is the worst thing you can do, and I've been on teams that this has happened to, where coaches will get up and say, you need to be less selfish, you know, you can really look at the wide receiver room. And then we'd go down in the locker room and wide receivers would be kind of saying, you know, still almost joking about what the meeting was. That doesn't do anybody any good. When you can have direct, you know, Aaron went public and, you know, said what he said yesterday or 2 days ago. That's not going to, that's great. That gives you an awareness. It gives people an idea of where they're at. But for Vrabel to kind of call this, take this by the, you know, nip in the bud and say, all right, let's open up and talk things through here. Making sure everybody understands what I was kind of telling you yesterday. This is not you stink, we don't, you know, if you don't do it. You need to understand what our standard is. You know, coaches will tell you in the beginning when rookies come in, when you're practicing, make sure you're setting the example that you want these, because you guys are setting the standard for what you want as a football team. What Randall Cobb and Vrabel, and I think, you know, Aaron, they were trying to kind of get into the mindset of, this is what we need from you. This is what we're asking you to do. We're not, you don't want it to be, these guys are up here, these guys are down here. I'm going to continue just to talk at you. I'm going to talk with you so that you understand, you know, I'm doing this from a place of love and for wanting you to be better in your career. Now, is that always going to work? If you're doing this, just like a team meeting or a players-only meeting, if you're doing this every week, that means the message isn't resonating, and it's not. Then you might as well just, it's not going to work. So what I love about this is the open dialogue you need to have and trust in your locker room. I don't know if that was meant to be made public. I'm surprised that people talked about it, because typically when you do this, we had a players-only meeting. I think I was back 2 weeks in that 09 season. It just gotten a break speed in. Nobody was protecting, and I could kind of sense, and again, I had just gotten thrown back into the mix, and I'm sitting there, and I could see the wide receiver's frustration with our offensive line and the quarterback kind of saying, we need more time. And instead, you know, I ended up kind of just standing up and saying, listen, I get it, but for everybody just to sit here and pile it on the offensive line, that's not solving any problems either. We need to play better, have that dialogue, and then when everybody walked out of that room, I think we all felt like we had been heard. And that's all you really want when you're calling a meeting like this.
All right, so here's the problem with that or whatever. I don't think that the messaging's the problem. I think everybody and their brother knows that Aaron Rodgers is one demanding dude. And he has very exacting standards. I don't think Romeo Doubs was unaware of that. Mm-hmm. I don't think Samari Toure was unaware of that. I don't think Christian Watson was unaware of it. And I can tell you for sure that Sammy Watkins wasn't unaware of it. So it's my question is, okay, we all know Aaron wants things done a certain way. And you listen to some of the things that were said. I know we've got some audio from Randall Cobb that we're going to play coming up, but some of the conversation I had with Sammy Watkins as well, I mean, it is some demanding stuff. And my question for you is, having played with him and having played in this league as long as you did, at what point can the standard not be the standard? At what point do you have to adjust the standard? Because if you're asking Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, James Jones, Donald Driver, and Greg Jennings to be at the standard, that's one thing. They've all played in the league a long time. What if it's Christian Watson, Samari Toure, and Romeo Doubs, and Danny Davis, and Sammy Watkins, who's never played with you?
At some point, does the standard need to be adjusted for reality's sake? That's the question I left all these conversations with.
It's a great question. And no, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to change his standard. He's going to, you know, if you're going to be out there, you need to be on his page. And if that doesn't work, you can come up with some schemes and really simplify things and say, all right, this is where we're going to do this. But he is not going to change. Is that good? When you're dealing with the youth that this team is going to have, there are going to be growing pains. But if you think Aaron Rodgers is going to say, well, shucks, I know you tried to get to 8 yards on that dig route, but you gave us your best. That's all we can ask for. That is not going to be the standard. That's not where Aaron Rodgers is going to go. So, softer, gentler, you know, coaching guys up. I think that was all for the first couple weeks of training camp. You get up to that U.S. Bank Stadium up in Minnesota, if you think he's going to expect anything but exactly what they're supposed to be doing, you're going to be sorely mistaken. And those guys in that room know that. Now the question is, how do you adjust if Sammy Watkins gets hurt or one of the guys he doesn't trust? What are you going to do, two tights?
Thank you.
You heard Aaron Rodgers say, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones are one of the top 11. Those guys need to be on the field. I'm guessing you're going to see more split back. You're going to see different ways where Aaron Jones out. You're going to see more packages that are going to be with the guys he wants out there. Is that going to be the best case for this? Aaron believes so, because while you got Christian Watson, you got Romeo Doubs, guys that I think everybody are excited about their potential, potential gets coaches fired. Potential gets 38-year-old quarterbacks killed if you don't know what you're doing.
Well, I want to talk more about this because there were some interesting things that were said about it. My point is it's fine to be demanding. I think you, at some level, have to be realistic about what some people are capable of. And it's fine to say, if you're not able to do it, then you can't be out there.
So settle for mediocrity? He ain't going to do it. It's not going to happen.
These are three rookies. They are not going to be as good at this as Sammy Watkins and Randall Cobb.
And they're not going to play much.
And Alan Lazard. And when Alan Lazard suffers a shoulder injury and Randall Cobb has a core muscle injury and Sammy Watkins has a hamstring injury,
jumbo package.
What are you going to do then?
Jumbo. Tonyan, Smitty, Mercedes Lewis, bring another tackle in.
Smitty, pound, who he is also probably not happy with.
Pound people into submission. Yeah, you're going to adjust. Obviously that's not going to exactly be what it is going to be, but you're going to see a different style of offense than what we saw last year with Davante Adams. It's going to look different because you have different personnel. That's part of coaching. That's on the coaches to make sure you put players in a position to succeed. You don't ask rookies to make tough reads on coverages and on this other stuff. You let them have the routes that are, this is what you're doing. You let them assimilate in to figure things out. You don't put them in a position to fail.
Different standard than you'd have for a veteran player, sounds to me like.
No blank. You're going to have a different standard. Like, you have grades on players. You know what you expect. Coaching is about finding a way to play to players' strengths. If you're out there and you're putting Christian Watson or Toure or Doubs in these positions where you are expecting them to read coverages like that and then get off and do all this stuff, that's bad coaching. That's not setting a lower standard. That's saying, I don't have any other options. I can't do it. Well, you're supposed to be an innovative, creative coach. Figure it out.
So you're agreeing with me that you can't expect young players to do the same things that veterans are being expected. Well,
I mean, water's wet. Yeah, that shouldn't be. Is that really? That's your cliche. What a crazy thing to say. I expect a first-year rookie to have the same knowledge base that Davante Adams has? What? That's, come on. That's a lazy comp. It is.
You weren't listening then, because that's exactly what I said, is that you can't do that. I want to hear from Randall Cobb about this. The standard is the standard when it comes to Kohler services, and I know that standard is extremely high.
When you think of Wisconsin companies and you think of quality, you think of luxury, you think of Kohler, and we want to welcome Kohler services to the Wilde and Tausch family. Elevate your bathroom remodel experience with Kohler Services, which is a division of the Kohler Company. Completely personalized shower and walk-in bath remodel service that will put you in charge. And as an exclusive provider of Kohler Lugstone showers, this month, discover the difference Kohler makes for your bathroom renovation, and you can receive a free Kohler Highline Comfort Height toilet with your Lugstone shower purchase from Kohler Services. Request your free design consultation. So if you've been sitting around thinking, "God, I want to get a new bath. I got to do something with this. Give Kohler Services a call. Get a hold of Kohler Service. KohlerServicesWI.com to request that free design consultation. Kohler Services, from inspiration to installation.
We'll talk more.
You can't go wrong getting a free toilet, can you? I'm asking.
No, and it's a high standard toilet, no doubt about it. We will talk more about this meeting that Aaron Rodgers and the quarterbacks had with the wide receivers. It's a fascinating situation, but the standard is the standard, except we're going to lower the standard because of experience level. We'll talk about that more next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Tito's Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Find recipes and learn about their story at titosvodka.com.
So I had a conversation yesterday with Sammy Watkins. Ooh, I'm trying not to like him.
That's your guy.
You're trying not to like him.
Sammy.
Kind of put all your bread in that basket, eh?
I think it's eggs, but that's a cliche. And you're turning around on a cliche because it is what it is. All right, so we were talking about this meeting, and we were talking about how demanding Aaron Rodgers is. Sammy Watkins has a different perspective than Romeo Doubs or Christian Watson or Samari Toure, because he's played in the NFL and he's played with two other NFL MVPs, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. So we asked Sammy how Aaron Rodgers compares to them in terms of how demanding he is. Here is how Sammy answered that question.
He's on a different level, you know what I mean, wanting things the way he wanted done. I think when you look at him, he's coaching just like the coaches, and he's on that field saying things the way he wanted done. And, you know, I had Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, but it wasn't this detail and this deep to where you have to know what you're doing. You have to know every little thing about how he wants things, how to run his different coverages. And if you don't, you're in trouble. And that's, you don't want to be in trouble. You don't want to be that guy that's been like, I can't play with him. I can't trust him. And that's what I'm trying to do every day, is gain his trust. And I want to be out there on that field playing with Aaron Rodgers. And if I want to be out there, I got to know every little thing about the offense.
Now, Tausch, I'm sure that everyone feels this way. Everyone wants to not let him down. Everyone wants to know all the details so they can play, so they don't have to be the guy that he says, I can't trust him, I don't want him out there. My question is, different people have different levels of talent. They also have different levels of experience and different levels of understanding the offense at this point in their careers. Is there not some sort of way, this is what I was getting at earlier, which maybe I wasn't very clear on, to figure out a way that Aaron Rodgers can coexist with guys that aren't as experienced, that aren't going to be able to do things exactly the way he wants them? Because there's 31 other quarterbacks in the league, and no, not all of them are as good as Aaron Rodgers, but I guarantee you that some of them are a little more flexible in their demands and their expectations to accommodate guys that maybe aren't there yet and aren't capable of doing what he wants. That's what I want to know.
That remains to be seen. I think Aaron Rodgers has done things for a long time a certain way. It has been incredibly successful. And to ask him to give a break to Samari Toure because he doesn't quite know what he's supposed to do, that's how you lose. That's not going to be a winning formula.
Well, then how do you win with guys that can't do it then?
You give them a specified role that they have to know, and you give them smaller packages and let them go to work on that and grow into the role. You don't shrink roles. You don't say, well, we can't, you're going to end up, how you end up balancing this out is you let one of them focus. You don't try to put them in all three spots on the, and have them moving around. Focus in, and until you prove, it's just like, you know, Jesse's program here getting producers on the air. You, until you prove that you can do this part, we can't let you on air. Every job has training. The NFL, everything is more criticized because it's such a high-profile job. You're going to get that. That's why I don't think this is going to be on Aaron Rodgers. This is on Matt LaFleur. This is on Adam Stenovich. This is on that group to come up with a plan that you're not going to ask these guys to do things they can't do. And it's not for Aaron Rodgers to say, all right, well, let's just, you know, we're not going to do this. Aaron has to feel comfortable that when you line up and somebody shows a zero blitz, they know what their job's going to be on that play if that zero blitz comes. And if you can't do that, you don't play. And that's on Matt LaFleur, and that's on the staff to come up with a plan to, A, get in a position where you know what you're going to be getting. But when the money's on the table, you put the guys out there that you trust. This isn't that hard to figure out.
Okay. So using your parallel to Jesse training the sommelier and some of the other producers in Madison, okay?
Yep.
Jesse decides that he's going to take a two-week vacation.
Yep.
Would never.
Josh, yeah, that's true. You'd come back for one day each week. Josh wins the lottery. Ashton Rotman's food truck business takes off and he quits.
Well, Josh would keep working if he wanted. He loves this job. He's not going.
I am out of here and the first thing smoking, Tosh.
Amen. It's my guy. So Josh has quit. He won the lottery. Ashton's food truck business has taken off. Jesse's taken his vacation. Molly Brown, her wedding was coming up and she's gone for her wedding. Suddenly, we have all these folks that do a great job producing all of our shows that are all unavailable. Okay. And Ryan Wollersheim or Jesse, who else is not? I know who's on.
Colin,
air.
You got so. Okay. Yeah, I know where.
Intern Ryan.
Okay,
what are we
so
gonna,
instead
what
of going
the hell
through
are we
going
to do to get this show
simple.
On the air?
Jason, this is simple. You find out, you put a test through. Jesse's job is before he leaves to give these folks a chance to be successful. We're not cutting audio. We're not going to ask them to drop sounders. What we're going to say is get us on the air and get us to break. Jesse, who is going to be able to do that? Oh, Samari Toure can do that. All right, great. It's on us as content providers to figure out how to work around what limits they have. This isn't rocket science. These folks are working. Great. They know how. The first thing, and Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong, first thing is get the station running. Get the stuff on air. All of the other stuff is the reading the blitzes. It's doing the little things, running an eight. We're going to be running fly routes. Hey, oh boy, line up on a sideline, run a slaughter route. That's all we're looking for. And then it's on us to do our own sound effects. That's on us because we've been here 6 years.
So, all right. Ding, so ding. Are you Aaron Rodgers in this equation?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Less demanding by a lot. By a lot. I'm also here in April and May, which is different. So, and I'm working with Colin and I'm working with Wooly and saying, hey guys, this is what I like. But you know what? You work at your pace.
Okay.
And then Jesse's the one that takes the brunt of it.
All right. So you're Aaron Rodgers in this equation.
Jesse, you got to admit, this is pretty good. I've summed this up pretty good.
Pretty good. It's pretty good.
It was my analogy.
Yeah, Tosh perfected it, though.
Yeah, I brought it to life.
I brought it to life.
Joshy, you know I'm right.
All right, Aaron Rodgers. So here's the question I want you to consider.
You're LaFleur. Who's a little more handsome, I'd say?
We'll play trivia later, all right? I'm going to call an audible. if that's okay with you guys. Because
whoa, you better execute.
Whoa,
hey,
whoa, whoa.
Hey, let me tell you something. You better execute. We got a zero blitz coming. What are we running?
No, I'll blame someone else for not doing a good enough job.
Wow. Shots fired.
Woo. So here's what I want you to consider in the radio booth at AmFam Field in advance of Brewers Dodgers at 110 on 620 WTMJ. You have expectations for this show. And they are high. You want our partners to be pleased.
For sure.
You want lots of people to listen. You want us to win. You want us to go 1-0 every day. Does the sound of a show that has no audio, no special segments, because you got to have the different, the opening part for her, Whoa, Nelly, and everything else, does that sound like a winning show to you? How do you win? You just said we could get on the air without all these terrific producers that we have and using a bunch of young folks that aren't quite there yet. Tell me how we win. I don't want to just play the game.
No.
You're going to contemplate that.
Okay.
And you're going to explain it to me.
Think about it.
Let me tell you something. That tease. 0-1. That's an 0-1 tease. Way
suck.
Too direct of a question.
You're the worst.
You should have teased. And we'll hear that next. That's a
on Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Before we get Tausch's answer of how we win as a show with our young producers, with all of our talented veterans sidelined for various reasons, we've got both talk and text lines operating because we've got Jesse at AmFam Field. We got Josh DiMaggio in the One Call That's All Gruber Law Offices studios in Milwaukee. So whether you're texting 800-990-3776 or 844-770-3776, both Old National Bank talk and text lines are functioning. Old National Bank, get old. If you do want to call, though, you need to call Josh, which is 800. Who are you going to call? Josh DiMaggio, 800-990-3776. Josh, do you have any texts on your end?
I do. From a Hall of Fame caller to the show, Josh in Heartland. I don't love this analogy because if Tausch is Rodgers and Wildy is LaFleur, that would make Jesse the 2021 special teams.
Wow. Good one, Josh.
Like it.
Both
like
of you. It pertains to you and the one you were reading. Unbelievable. Jason. I have one for Ryan and McGuanago. Since we're at AmFam Field, he asked, does Tausch know if he turned his vehicle off this time?
I did. I got here a little earlier this time. And I was able to kind of, you know how Milwaukee Airport has that recombobulation.
Yeah.
I was decombobulated last time. This time I got here 4 minutes early. So I was had all the time in the world. Yeah, Lombardi. Lombardi Stronger. Time. That's what we do. Lombardi.
All right, so back to our analogy, Tausch, because you don't just want to get the show on the air. You want it to be great, and you want our partners to be happy. You want our listeners to be happy. They don't just want some crummy version of the show, but at least it's on the air. And they don't have a deep pass-catching group if they do have injury issues in terms of proven guys. Is the solution, kind of like we do if we have some technical difficulties in Madison, well, we'll just run through Milwaukee, we say, right? And instead, we'll run through where maybe we've got some other folks in the Milwaukee studios who can be like Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Like, are we in a position that if we don't have enough guys that can do it the way Aaron Rodgers wants, they are going to have to run things significantly different?
Well, they're not going to like shut down and play. And they're not going to just say, well, we can't play.
Right. They're going to run the ball. They're going to throw the ball to their running backs. And they're going to get Mercedes Lewis more involved.
What are they going to do? They got to win the games.
Yeah. Well, you're going to play great defense. You're going to rely on a special teams that's better. And you're going to let the process evolve. It's going to be a little bit herky-jerky in the beginning of the season. And if you have injuries, then that process has to be sped up. And you
Rodgers going to handle this? If things how's don't Rodgers go, how's he got? We heard him unhappy on Tuesday. If we get into the regular season and these problems persist, and there are mistakes by Sammy Watkins, who's new to the offense, how's he going to handle it? How's he going to handle his frustration?
He's going to have to handle it. He's going to have to handle it well. I mean, and he, fortunately for him, he has not had to go through that a bunch, but.
Correct.
Handling adversity is the biggest part of how you can become a big-time leader. And from an athlete standpoint, it is easy to play when you're winning and everything's going swimmingly. It's much more difficult when you get punched and you get knocked down and you have injuries that you have to overcome. Aaron Rodgers will look at it as a challenge. This is going to be, I told you this earlier, this is going to be the most challenging piece that he's had since he took over as a starter in 2008. This will be that segment, especially that first 6-8 games. He's going to need to be at his all-time best, and he's going to need to be at his all-time best mentally because it isn't going to be as pretty. He's not going to be throwing up 350-yard games and having the monster stat line that he does. He's going to probably have more plays, throwaway plays. You remember the year he was throwing the ball out of bounds all the time, and yep. We were wondering, how's nobody getting open? And all. You're going to have to go through that. He's going to get frustrated, and it's on him to make sure he doesn't let that override the entire team because he sets the standard. He is the standard.
Yes,
he is. His mentality is also permeates through a locker room. So, this is where his leadership and everything he's learned and his pancha karmas and his gratitude and all this other stuff that he's studying, it's for moments like this. It's not for when he's in Hawaii with waterfalls coming down. He's training his mind through the off season. For moments which are going to be coming. Now, how he reacts, that's going to say, boy, he's practicing what he preaches. And if he doesn't, criticism will follow by people that are looking at this objectively.
All right, so last thing on this, so we can move on.
Do you think that that will be the case?
I don't know. I honestly don't.
But you've known him better than anybody. You've covered him for his... You've always told me, I've covered him for 18 years. Do you think that that will be the case?
I watched Brett Favre get really frustrated in 05.
Yeah?
I think his career track has followed Brett Favre's way more than I ever thought it would. I think no matter how good you are and no matter how good your intentions are, sometimes frustration can get the best of you.
So you're calling a 5-12 season?
No, I'm saying that I think
he's going to have to... That's what happened in 05.
I'm saying, no, I'm talking about how he handles the adversity.
17 games.
Right, correct. Okay. How he handles this. He better handle it better than Favre did that year. Or they've got no shots.
Is he going to?
I think he'll handle it better, but I don't know if he'll handle it well enough. My last question on this. Because this is this kind of adversity, you mentioned the offseason and pancha karma and ayahuasca and going to Switzerland for the watchmaker and everything else. The folks that are, because you heard from them and I did too yesterday, the folks that are pointing to him complaining about these guys not being up to his standard, that are pointing to the fact that he didn't come for the offseason program, how valid of a point do they have?
Very valid.
I think so, too. I think that's a... If you're going to be that exacting, we know what he needed to do that was best for him, and you've talked about it a lot.
Yep.
Getting away, recharging the batteries, all these other things that he does.
It is incredibly fair criticism, and I hope you will ask him that question because it is pointed and there's no wiggle room. I would love for you to ask him that question.
Well, we'll see if we get that opportunity next week.
Will you ask him that question?
I would like to do it privately, but I'm not going to ask for him one-on-one, so I will have to decide whether I'm able to do that in the group setting or not. God, I'll have to.
That's going
to
be good.
I'm going to think about that for a while.
I'll tell you one thing. That'll be must-listen-to radio right there.
He didn't say yes.
No, he's going to do it because he knows it's such a good...
But he didn't say no.
And to Jason's credit, he did bring this up all off-season. I poo-pooed it more than I should have because it is an incredibly piece of valid criticism of Aaron Rodgers. Very valid. And for everybody saying, I was on the mental train, making sure he's fresh and all, and I still believe that. Mm-hmm. But if you can honestly sit here and tell me you need these guys up to speed ASAP, and if you don't think that would have helped 5% of getting these guys up to speed by being here, then what are you doing? It's a fair criticism. It is.
We will kick off the 10 o'clock hour live from AmFam Field. Did you guys take an elevator to that perch that you're in?
Escalator.
I took the stairs.
Well, I didn't even see stairs. Where are the stairs?
Well, like sounds like you...
Oh, I have... And you know what? I'm going to be honest. I have something. I have to bring this up. It's about road close signs. Do you have anything else you get to tease, or can I tease this out?
Well, you wanted to talk about elevator etiquette, and I was trying to set up elevator etiquette.
I didn't use an elevator. I got something better. I got something better.
Hey, the standard is the standard, man, and Tao sets the standard. Two minutes.
One on another tease.
You had an 0-for-4 stretch there, brother. We'll get you in the bed. 10 o'clock hour will be better.
It's Wildy and Tausch.